Hey, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvett filling in one more time for Charlie Kirk, who is on assignment at San Diego State University. I welcome Libby Emmons in, editor-in-chief from the Post Millennial, as well as Senator J.D. Vance, who's campaigning with Bernie Moreno in Ohio, who's now ahead in the polls, thank goodness. It's the only America First candidate in that race. And we talk about the SCOTUS arguments that are ongoing, more bloodbath smear talk, and how the AP are a bunch of establishment hacks that attack America First candidates like Bernie Moreno. J.D. Vance has the goods. We also ask him about whether or not he's interested in being Trump's VP candidate as his name is getting floated. You're not going to miss this episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I'm so excited about our next guest, Libby Emmons. She is the editor-in-chief of the Postmillennial and Human Events, so please check out her stuff. Libby, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. You know, you're one of my favorite guests because you are, you know, I'm trying to be nice to our friends in the conservative movement, but sometimes there is a lack of connection between the importance of culture and politics, policies, and merging and bridging those two worlds is something that I think you do better than anybody. You have a sort of a people that know your background. You were in the arts. You were a playwright at one time. You're New York City, and you've been massively red-pilled. So you get it as much as anybody gets it. So when we're analyzing this bloodbath hoax, you put out a video that went viral over the weekend, and I wanted to have you on to describe it because I think you put it so succinctly. Break it down what you see in this latest hoax. And what is really going on behind the scenes, Libby Emmons?
Yeah, it's really like they just want to do it. And by they, I mean Democrats and the mainstream media apparatus that the Democrats essentially control and who perhaps control the Democrats right back. We see this all the time. They come out with, quoting Trump entirely out of context, quoting conservatives entirely out of context. They did this recently with Moms of Liberty on 60 Minutes, and it happens across the board. We just keep seeing it. So on Saturday, we had Donald Trump giving a rally in Ohio. He was talking about the auto industry, which is, of course, very important to the American economy and to innovation. So he's out there. He's saying that Biden's policies on EVs are really bad, that his trade policies are bad, that, you know, Chinese manufacturers will seek to create factories in Mexico and import those cars into the U.S. for very low cost, that this would be very bad for the American auto industry. And he said that in the event that these policies are allowed to continue to fester and continue to have an impact on the American economy, in that if he's not elected, they will, because Biden will continue it, then there will be essentially an economic bloodbath. This is the term that he used. So, of course, right away, we had Democrats, the Biden campaign, not the administration. It's hard to tell the difference there, I gotta say. They came out, Nancy Pelosi went on CNN, was talking about it. Everyone went nuts and said, Donald Trump is calling for violence if he doesn't win the election. And they just totally freaked out. It was ridiculous. And everyone could see that it was a lie. What was fascinating this time around, we've had so many hoaxes, right? They had the Russia collusion hoax. There was the P-tape hoax, January 6th hoax. I mean, just, you know, keep going. They come up with ridiculous things and say, Trump is, you know, horrible, all of this stuff. You even had Nancy Pelosi things, ridiculous things. So, yeah. So this time what happened, however, was that because X is now a free speech platform, people were just like, you're lying. It's obvious you're lying. And we're all going to point it out. And our posts are not going to be deboosted. We're not going to be censored. We're not going to be suppressed because we can actually speak our minds.
I love the X tie-in because this is why they hate Elon Musk so much. I mean, people don't realize that Musk has been targeted at least, maybe not as much as Trump, but he's definitely, from a Lawfare standpoint, the second most targeted man in America. Blake has been keeping an active list of all the lawsuits that he's now facing from the Department of Justice, claiming he's not hiring enough refugees and asylum seekers at SpaceX. To his compensation at Tesla, being blocked by a judge. But he's being sued in multiple different jurisdictions. And why? Because he now controls X, which is the incubator of elite opinion in this country. And, you know, it may not have the largest user base of all the social platforms, but it may be the most influential. It is that important because, again, this is where elite opinion starts. It gets incubated here. And I just love what you were doing, Libby. Like it's almost impossible to remember all of the hoaxes that we've had.
There's
to
so
live
many.
Through. The Russia,
they're ridiculous.
Yeah. Charlie did a probably a not comprehensive list on Twitter this morning. So Russia. Jussie Smollett, MAGA country, 100% safe and effective. Hunter's laptop was Russian disinfo. COVID came from the wet market. 2020 was the most secure election in U.S. history. Very fine people hoax. The border is secure. Boys can be girls. Jim Crow 2.0. Inflation is transitory. Modern monetary theory. Zelensky's Churchill. Defund the police and we'll have safer streets. Defenders of democracy work to remove Trump from democracy. America was founded in 1619 and more. There was the Hitler hoax. There was, yeah, exactly.
There's
been so much. But what's crazy, Libby, is that they are doubling down. Joe Scarborough is doubling down. CNN's doubling down. They actually think they have something here. Or is this just they're pocketed, they have to double down?
Yeah, they don't. And we also have a clip of Joe Biden in 2020 saying, you know, if Bernie Sanders something, there's going to be a bloodbath. So we see this all the time. This is a standard term that is used for economic problems in the United States. And you can just go back. I keep seeing people on X putting up screenshots of, like, you know, bloodbath in Bitcoin, bloodbath in, you know, the auto industry, bloodbath in Hollywood, bloodbath in media. I mean, it's
all right. I have to do it then. We have a clip. We have a clip of this from Tom, from I think it's Selliot actually. But anyways, cut 16.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats. A bloodbath at the ballot box.
But now all of a sudden it's terrible.
And Trump's calling for violence. Yeah. Yet if Trump says it, it's violence. And this goes back to, of course, these pundits have no idea who Trump is. They don't understand him. They don't understand his voters. And they keep trying and coming up with these ridiculous things. I think Charlie covered the white rural rage situation very well.
That was
ridiculous. Across the board. Yeah. So the more we see them freak out, the more we know that we are doing well. However, one thing, and this is something I was talking to Jack Posobiec about this morning, is that why didn't we see conservatives coming out on the Sunday morning shows pushing back against this? Why haven't we been seeing fighting back about this? Why haven't we been seeing resistance to these lies? Why do we just keep seeing, you know, media from the conservative side, politicians, just letting these lies wash over them and letting it just go unchallenged? I don't understand that.
Well, I think you made two really interesting points there. One is that they don't understand who Trump is. They genuinely don't. I actually think that some of this media coverage of Trump comes from a sincere place where they are just completely so deranged in their thinking about him that they do think he's Hitler. They do think he wants to be a fascist. And it's funny because it's that classic eye of the beholder where I'll hear him say something and I completely understand what he means. He's either joking or he's being flip or he's, the whole NATO thing, you know, he's talking smack to NATO to get them to pay up. He's not going to, like, you know, let Putin run over France. I mean, that, but he wants Europe to defend itself in a more robust way. But there's multiple examples of this, is that, you know, I think not only do they not understand him, but then when the Republicans fail to come to his defense, it's because so many of our credentialed elite Republicans find Trump to be a gross ogre, for lack of a better expression. They actually support him through grit teeth. They really genuinely don't want to be the big Trump booster. They want to sort of keep him at arm's length. And so you get this tepid establishment Republican response over and over and over again. This is what we were fighting at the RNC and in so many different aspects of conservative politics. If we would just get behind this man, he is a secret weapon of getting out the vote like no other we've seen in generations.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com.
Libby, you have been listening this morning to these two SCOTUS. Actually, I believe it was just Missouri v. Biden that was going on this morning. What these stories are connected, the bloodbath hoax and free speech. And, you know, you mentioned X in a previous iteration of X. We would have been censored or throttled for, you know, stating the obvious that this is a hoax. Now we're free to say it. Explain the importance of these cases on what you're hearing this morning. I know you were listening in.
Yeah, so we had Missouri, which was this fascinating case brought by Bailey, who was the attorney general for Missouri, who said that the Biden administration had been colluding with social media companies to censor and suppress Americans online. He was talking about COVID. He was talking about J6. He was talking about, you know, various other things that, yes, are Trump related, you know, suppressing conservatives specifically. There was also the case about the NRA, where the NRA has alleged that Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, when he was governor, was preventing the NRA from getting insurance and all kinds of things, basically targeting them over their stance on the Second Amendment and gun rights for Americans. So yeah, they're both really fascinating cases. And I was listening rather closely. I'm not a Supreme Court expert, but I have been following the Missouri case for a while. And I have been following the Supreme Court, of course, for, you know, decades. So it's pretty interesting to hear some of this stuff finally show up. We heard conservatives for years saying that they were being suppressed online. And it was almost sort of a given. You just kind of knew if you posted the wrong thing, it was going to get deboosted. You were risking having your account banned, you know, specifically on Twitter, or being, you know, pushed down the algorithm on Facebook. And that was clear. We saw that. So a big part of the argument this morning really seemed to be about the difference between coercion and persuasion. So you had the government's attorneys saying that Biden and the federal government has the right to get out there on the bully pulpit and say what they think, and that perhaps media companies, social media companies, will go along with their view. And you have Missouri going out there saying, no, that's not what happened here. What happened here is that behind closed doors, the Biden administration was conferring with social media executives and telling them exactly what they thought should be pulled. Now, if you look back, so That's fascinating already, right? The difference between the attorneys for the government saying, no, they were just out there persuading, you know, you give a speech and then people go along with it. That's not coercion. That's just, you know, common sense. They're just doing what they think is right. And then you have the attorneys, you know, for Missouri basically saying, and Missouri's constituents saying, you know, that's not what was happening here. This was actually direct coercion. What I did not hear was, you know, a lot of evidence being brought up, which typically we aren't going to hear in the oral arguments. But we all saw when the Twitter files were published or when Jim Jordan went and did the Facebook files to find similar things. And in both cases, what we saw was correspondence from officials in the federal government directly to social media companies saying, hey, you know, here's a website that's pretty bad and goes against everything. So pull that down. What we saw was that happening with the Hunter Biden laptop, which was one of the hoaxes that you mentioned in October 2020. You know, Emma Jo Morris, New York Post, posted this article showing all of this crazy stuff, influence peddling, as evidenced on Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. And we had directly the Biden campaign going out there and trying to get people in the intelligence agency to say that it was fake. And they did do that. And Politico ran this headline.
The globalists are making it very clear that another pandemic could be just around the corner. They want us to live in fear, to be willing to sacrifice our freedoms. It doesn't have to be this way. You need to be prepared, not scared. That's why you need the Wellness Company. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. Their medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. I can 100% endorse this company. They are amazing. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to twc.health/Charlie. That is twc.health/Charlie. Enter promo code Charlie for 10% off. The Wellness Company, they are licensed doctors and medical professionals you can trust. Again, that's twc.health/Charlie, promo code Charlie for 10% off. See site for details. Prescription may be required.
All right. So without further ado, we have the great senator from the state of Ohio, J.D. Vance, joining the show. Senator, welcome.
Thanks, man. Good to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you are currently on the road now with Bernie Moreno, who, according to new polling, is leading in the GOP primary in that state. Just to start off, I want to get into this whole crazy story, but start off by telling our audience about how that's going, the energy on the ground, and who Bernie Moreno is for those who don't know yet.
Yeah, so the energy on the ground is great. We're barnstorming right now with Terry Lake and Bernie Moreno. We had two events already today. We're headed to one in Toledo, and then we'll close up Monday evening with a rally in Parma, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland. Look, people know Bernie Moreno is the true American first conservative in this race. Donald Trump came and did a rally for Bernie on Saturday. I've endorsed him. Trump has endorsed him. Jim Jordan endorsed him. So we have a great cast of characters and leaders who have gotten behind Bernie's campaign. I don't take anything for granted. Yes, you're right. Some good polling has come out just in the past couple minutes, and that's a very good thing. But you can't take any of this stuff for granted because the establishment has thrown everything that they possibly can at Bernie. I think it's very simple why, right? If you sort of go to the most important issue of the day, immigration, Joe Biden's open border, you have a lot of rhino establishment candidates who are saying we need to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. Bernie's the only one with the courage to stand up and say we need to deport illegal aliens or they're going to keep on coming. So Bernie Moreno's the guy. I hope everyone who's listening from the state of Ohio will get out there and vote for him tomorrow.
Yeah, and the polling you're referencing, and again, we take this with a grain of salt, but Emerson College says that Ohio Republican primary voters, 38% of likely voters are going to support Moreno. That's compared to 29% in support of Matt Dolan and 12% in support of Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. So very, very good poll numbers that have come out from over the weekend and just got reported now, just a few minutes ago. So that's encouraging, Senator. But there is another storyline. And when you say that the establishment has thrown everything they can at Bernie, this story, this is crazy from the AP. So the AP basically, and I frankly don't want to get into all the torrid details here, but they're alleging that he made an account on Adult Friend Finder back in 2008. And they say they had geolocating data that they now admit they don't have. I have to say one other thing before I throw it to you, Senator. I saw the byline on this story from a guy named Brian Sladisco, and we with Charlie have had history with this guy. He is an establishment hack, attack dog. And when you just have to look at this guy, he literally gets dispatched, I think, from the establishment to go hit on American First candidates and America First patriots in the political area. And I have never had such a terrible experience working with a reporter, because I handle some of this for Charlie, at this guy, Brian Sladisco. So when I saw the byline, I instantly knew, JD, that this was this story had way more to it. So give us the update. What now is the AP saying with this geo locating data?
Yeah, so you're right, first of all. Sladisco is one of the worst scumbags in American media, an absolute propagandist. I mean, these guys have just taken harassment to an industrial scale, and they don't even confirm this stuff before they report on it. So let's just run through a couple pieces of this story. The first is that even according to the AP's own reporting, they couldn't confirm that Bernie started the account. They could confirm that the account was never used. So you have an account that was arguably not started by Bernie. Certainly the evidence is that it wasn't started by Bernie. It is 100% certain that it was never used. What is the story there? Why even report that? And the interesting thing is that Sladisco told on himself, the AP told on themselves in their own reporting to the story, because they mentioned that this story had been shopped for months before they decided to report on it. And you know what that means? A murderer's row of establishment hack journalists refused to publish this story. That's how thin it was. But the AP decided to run with it days before a primary. And I actually think it's backfired and helped Bernie Moreno, because, you know, a lot of our voters, they recognize that the media goes after the candidates who are actually going to stand up for their values and stand up for their voters. So it's been great to watch this thing unravel. It's been really good for the Bernie campaign, but it just drives home how much, when the media comes after us, we don't need, you know, old guard folks who bend the knee or run and hide. You need people who are going to fight back against these narratives. That's what Bernie and his campaign did. I'm very proud of them for how they did it. And I think it's going to help them win tomorrow.
No, I think you're right. I think it's been an amplifier. It's only let more people know who the America First candidate is in this race. And, you know, kudos to you, JD, and your team, for standing by Bernie during this time, but also being early. You know, we're very proud on this show that we were early getting behind you, because we knew that you were going to be a fighter in the Senate. You proved that time and time again. You're exactly the man that we knew you were going to be and thought you were going to be. And the fact that you're getting behind Bernie speaks volumes about the kind of senator that he will be. And we need fighters like you in the Senate now more than ever before. What we've seen out of Mitch McConnell's Senate has been disheartening at best. And it just, it 2024 November, this could be our best chance to retake the Senate in multiple cycles. We think we have a real good shot, and Bernie's going to be one of those great guys. So now let's go to the general. So if he gets through the primary, which we're not counting our chickens here, but he's going to go up against Sherrod Brown. Why has this man proved to be able to win generals in Ohio that's getting redder and redder? Why is he still a senator, and what is it going to take to beat him in November?
Well, you know, the Democrats in the state of Ohio for a long time were perceived as the party of working people. You know, I was raised by my grandparents. They were both Blue Dog Democrats, you know, socially conservative union steel worker. That was sort of my grandfather. And he's the kind of guy who would have voted Democrat most of his life, voted for Donald Trump in 2016. That is the type of I think Democrat that Ohio has pretended still exists. And unfortunately, it just doesn't exist. I wish it did. Actually, I think our politics would be a lot less crazy if you had some socially conservative pro-worker Democrats, but they've gone extinct. And what you need really to push back against that narrative is you need a candidate, I think, who's had some success in the real world, right? Sort of normal people like it when their political leaders have actually done something before. But you also need a guy with a set of policies that are going to help bring back Americans to manufacturing jobs, that are going to push back against the fact that China's basically stolen our industrial base over 30, 40 years. you really need somebody who's willing to go after those issues. And I think Bernie is exactly that guy. Self-made guy, great American story. Family came to the country legally when he was a kid, and he built the same prosperity for working people across the state of Ohio that he's been able to enjoy for himself. Okay, that is what you need, I think, to beat the Democrats in Ohio. I think Bernie's the right guy for the job.
Well, and Sherrod Brown's one of these guys. I totally agree with you. He's one of these guys that presents like a moderate, but then he votes in lockstep with Joe Biden time and time again. And so all of this craziness from the border, from our spending ourselves into oblivion, this is coming out of him lying to the people of Ohio and essentially saying he's somebody he's not. So it's very, very clear that Bernie's a guy that threatens the establishment, threatens the status quo of spend until we're broke, mortgaging our kids' futures. And there needs to be change. And I think this is one of the key pickup spots going into November, guys, in the Senate. So get behind Bernie Moreno for U.S. Senate from the state of Ohio. Donate, volunteer if you're listening in Ohio. There's still time. Get behind this man. He's a good man, and he's being smeared because he's a threat to the establishment. Okay, J.D., before I let you go, your name has been floated. We'd be more than happy if this was the case as a potential VP pick for Trump. How do you respond when people bring up your name in such a way and just break down the presidential contest ahead of November?
Yeah, well, obviously it's extremely flattering. And I've told people, look, I want to help the president however I can because I think he's a good man and the country needs him. So if he asked me, certainly I would seriously consider it. I like being a senator, and I plan to stay in the United States Senate. It's funny, I talk to Trump a lot, and the president has never once talked to me about this. So I am skeptical that he's going to make that ask. But if he does, like I said, certainly would think very seriously about it. The way that I think about this presidential race is pretty straightforward. I mean, obviously, most of your listeners, I hope, believe in President Trump's agenda and think that he's the right guy for the job. We've got to persuade those sort of all-important middle-of-the-road voters that their lives were better under Donald Trump than Joe Biden. And I don't think that's a very hard case to make. I think we've got a really, really compelling case here because Trump's policies bore a lot of fruit. Wages were rising. Inflation was low. The border was controlled. We just have to hammer the message. I mean, what an incredible opportunity we have to say, look, you have the example of what worked and you have the example of what didn't work. You have an opportunity, the American people do, to bring back what works. And I think we're going to win that argument every single day and twice on Sunday.
Senator J.D. Vance, it's an honor to have you on the show, and come back again soon. BernieMoreno.com. Get behind Bernie Moreno, the only America First candidate for Senate in Ohio. J.D., thank you for your great work and for being an absolute warrior for all of us in D.C. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right.
For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com.
Breaking news out of New York is that Trump is unable to post a $454 million bond in the judgment in New York City, the fraud case where there was no fraud, where everybody got paid back. An absolute farce of a judgment where even the bank that he supposedly defrauded said, we'd love to do business with Trump again. And that Mr. Wonderful has said, Kevin O'Leary has also said that, listen, if you're a New York business, get the heck out of New York. If they can just seize your assets, if they can just fine you $500 million when you paid everybody back and that bank wants to keep doing work with you and that bank is forced to do their own private assessment of your wealth and of your credit worthiness, despite what you price your own assets at, despite what you claim your own personal net worth to be, they're still going to go do their own due diligence. This is what the bank did. The bank testified in defense of Donald Trump. Everybody got paid back. There are no victims. And yet Trump is still somehow on the hook for $454 million. And Trump is saying, listen, I'll give you a $100 million bond. And they're saying, nope, we want $454. Letitia James is blocking the $100 bond. So $100 million bond. And so this, they've done a ton of their quote, ongoing diligent efforts, including approaching 30 insurance companies through four separate brokers. Donald Trump has so far been unable to obtain a bond that would allow him to appeal a $454 million judgment against him in New York. And so we're going to see if a court grants a stay, gives him more time, or allows him to submit a $100 million bond while the Trump team appeals this insane ruling. And I just want to say, you know, for all the haters of Donald Trump, even some in our audience that don't like his tone, don't like this or that, this is a man that had everything and put it all on the line, not once, not twice, but three times now for us, the American people, for fighting for us. And it's insane what he's had to endure. It's truly insane what he's had to endure, and the slings and arrows and the barbs that are thrown at him, for him to still come back after this many assaults against his character, this many lies, this many hoaxes, the bloodbath hoax being just the most recent in a long line of hoaxes and lies and smears, for him to come back to risk his personal wealth like this is truly something to behold. And it makes me truly sad that, you know, Letitia James is on a personal mission. She campaigned on getting Trump. And then she, you know, the old Soviet adage goes, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. She went searching for some way to hurt him, to damage him. And again, this is a crime with no victims. The supposed victim is on his side, testifying in defense of him and his business. So it's truly insane what's going on in New York. We can't say it enough. This is absolute seizure of assets. Get the heck out of New York if you're a business. Now, I want to make one point about a potential upshot for Donald Trump. He is a large holder in Truth Social, and there is a chance that Truth Social will go public in the near future. And if that were to happen, Trump is slated to make $4 or $5 billion in profit. And so I just consider that to be a little bit of a silver lining in a otherwise terrible, tragic, Stalinist story, a repulsive story from a parasitic creature in Letitia James, that Trump might end up netting out $4 billion from Truth Social. And I genuinely hope that that happens, because it would be poetic justice in a country that is increasingly devoid of real justice. And yes, businesses are fleeing New York. The subways are not safe. They're deploying the National Guard and it's not even working. People getting shot in the head on the subways. Now, turns out that story is a little... If you saw that viral story from last week, it actually was the aggressor that got shot. The guy took the gun away from him, shot him in the head. But nevertheless, we were told the National Guard is searching bags before you get on the subway for things like guns, and they missed this one. And so New York is crime-riddled. It's infested with illegal immigrants all over the streets. They're spending billions of dollars that should be going to taxpayers to take care of these people, because they want to maintain their sanctuary city and sanctuary state policies. This is a city that is upside down. It is ignoring the violent crime and the homicides and the rape, and they're going after Donald Trump because he stands in their way. And when you see stuff like this happening to him, say a prayer for him, because it's truly unfair. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Consider joining members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com, where you make us powerful, insulated from the censorship regime. You give us the courage to speak boldly and clearly and loudly. Become a member at members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.